Hey, look out! Have you seen him? Guys, we gotta move! We gotta move! You guys don't seem to be as worried as I do. Have you heard? There's troops everywhere, all throughout Vancouver. Lower Mainland! Abbotsford! Langley! Guys, they're in camouflage! Okay. Yes! I was running through the park. No vehicles were working. There's people everywhere, but there's troops in camouflage. And here's what happened. People were going through the park, and I started going with them, but I had a bike somehow. And all of a sudden, I saw these guys with machine guns with camouflage, and they're ready to mow everybody down. And then I got on my bike, I got out of there, and I started going down, and then there was troops falling from the sky, you know, in those parachutes like World War II. And then I woke up. Whew. That was last week. I had that dream last week. I had a very busy day. It was a very full week. Sometimes life just feels like I'm running. What did the dream mean? Did it mean that I was really just, my adrenaline was up, my physiologically, the stress was in my body? Was God speaking through dreams? Did he know I needed an introduction for my sermon this week? What's your life like? Are you running, running, running? Are you off to the hockey arena? Are you back to work? Oh, time to work on the house, time to take care of the kids, go to the grandkids, time to hang out with friends, time to go to the church, time to go grocery shopping, pay the bills. Are you running, running, running? Do you know that reality? Do you just get exhausted looking at the rest of us running, running, running? About a year back, we played a video that was about 3-4 minutes on YouTube. It was a great video. It showed the physiological effects in the body when you're induced in a life-threatening situation. Your heart gets pumping, and then your body just reacts. You could Google it, I'm sure. If not, if you want to see it, it's 3-4 minutes. You can email me. My email's at the back of the bulletin. But it showed, here's the stress, life and death situation in your body, and it's like panic and alarms are going off. And then here's the person sitting at home having a cup of tea feeling stressed. And the same thing, alarms are going off. Like your body can't tell the difference physiologically between perceived threat and real threat. Just like I couldn't tell the difference between real life and a dream. I still remember it very vividly. So we're here this morning. Just how are you doing? How are you doing with the stresses of life? How are you really doing? Why are you here this morning? If you're like me, you're here on Sundays to hear from the Lord. You participate in the life of the church because you want God to be speaking in everyday life. You not only long for the meaning that he can give and he gives, but you also need him to speak into your everyday situations. Now, unlike me, where I was just dreaming of being chased by an enemy after me, David, our figure this morning, actually had an army. He had the real thing. And not only that, they weren't just after anybody, they were after him. It was interesting, it was great last week. Pastor Barry gave the message on conflict at the dinner table, and there's this back and forth between David and his best friend, like, Jonathan, I don't think your dad likes me. What? My dad loves you. Yeah, I'm not getting that feeling from him. What? How can you say such a thing? Well, the other day at dinner, he threw a spear at me. What? Oh, that was just kind of, he was playing. Well then, you know how he gave me your sister to marry? Well, he sent his army to kill me in the middle of the night. Huh, you might have something there. Yeah, okay, I'll look into it. well, thanks, I'd appreciate it. I just don't feel comfortable showing up. I'm just going to hide for now. You can send some arrows and shoot me a text message. Okay, we don't have texting, but I'll shoot some arrows, okay? And then, okay, that'd be great. And then he goes back and, you know what? I kind of stuck up for you at the dinner table, and Dad threw a spear at me too. He wants to kill you. I knew it. I knew he wanted to kill me. Yeah, you better go hide. He's like got his whole army after you. Ah! Okay, I'm out of here. And it was like, that is David's life. And then that was 1 Samuel 20. We're in 1 Samuel 24 this morning. And in between that, yeah, he's running from Saul. He's running, running, running. He goes to the cave at Adullam. He goes to a town of priests. Saul, who does not follow through in killing his enemies, kills God's priests, a town of priests. He's continuing to reveal what is most important to him. He kills them because they aided and abetted David, whether they knew it or not. And then David has the whole ordeal with Saul's daughter, where he tries to set up a trap, and he's hiding in the wilderness. He's running, 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 and here we are in 1 Samuel 24. Saul had returned from fighting the Philistines, and he heard that David was in the wilderness of En-Gedi. So he's like, okay, things aren't working. We're going to limit the force. We're going to take 3,000 of the best of the best, the elite troops, in order to find David. And here we are in this series. Who's on the throne? Saul is fighting David, thinking the throne is being threatened. This whole book of Samuel, as we've said, there's this discussion is, who is really ruling Israel? Do we place people over the throne of our lives, or do we place God over the throne of our lives? So here's the question. What would you do in David's situation? He's got his own men he's got to care for. He's got his families back home. Saul the king is threatening his life to kill him. He's got his elite Navy SEALs of the Western Middle East, and they are after David. And here he is in the cave. God has just put him right before him to take his life. The voices are going, David's men, you got him. God's given him to you. Take him out. Kill him. Protect us. What would you do? Can you imagine yourself in that situation? Future dreams for us all. This is good. David's got two options. Listen to what God is speaking into his heart, what he knows is right and true. Listen to his fellow people of God saying, God's done this. You got to take him out now. What would you do? What do you do with the stressful situations of your life? This is what we're talking about this morning. How do you have confidence to deal with the stress of our lives? Our lives aren't promised to be stress-free, but God gives us tools to deal with the stresses of life. So what do you do in your stresses? Binge on Netflix? YouTube videos? Don't talk about it. Go to the shop. Clean the dishes. Go out with friends. Read the newspaper. Pray. Read the scriptures. Turn to Him. Go out for coffee with friends. What did David do? This morning, I want to draw out some principles of faith in stressful situations, looking at the model that David gave before us. So, what did David do? Number one, he respected God by respecting God's God-given leader. He respected God by respecting God's given leader. It says, the Lord forbid that I should do this to my Lord the King. I shouldn't attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him. Verse 6. It says it again. It repeats how important this is. I will never harm the king. He is the Lord's anointed one. Verse 10. Is this how we treat the God-given leaders that God has placed in our lives? And I'm not even talking the good ones. Saul was not a good one. He wasn't one of those leaders you want to serve under. He wasn't one of those leaders you go, I'm really going to thrive under this leader's leadership. Do we respect God's God-given leaders in the ministry you're serving in? In the leaders of our church? In the leaders of our town? And the leaders of our country? Saul was the leader of the country. How do we, what we're instructed to do, I was just this week meeting with a couple guys, reading 1 Timothy 2, we are to be praying for the leaders we are under in order that we will live in peace. Those of us in Canada, we go, well, I forget about this stuff. Those in war-torn countries, they get this. David got this. It's really hard to respect God-given leaders. And we got all kinds of pushbacks. Like, yeah, but you don't know this person. You don't know what a mess they are. You don't know what trouble they create in my life. David did. God-given leaders need to be held accountable. They need to be encouraged. They're real people. They need to be supported. Especially if you've got a bigger post, how do you support and encourage leaders? How do you get behind them? How do you invite them to be all that God calls them to be? God equipped a body. The leader can't do it all by themselves. They don't have the giftings. This is the value of living in community as a church. And I encounter this so many times as I serve here as a leader in our midst, where people are sitting down talking with me going, can you explain this to me? I'm looking to suspend judgment. I'm concerned about what I saw here. People going, way to go. Great job. Thank you. I'm praying for you. Thank you to each of you doing that for me and leaders in our church, leaders in our town, for living out what David models here, respecting God by respecting his God-given leader. Secondly, handling stressful situations. David listened to God's voice. He didn't listen to the voice of temptation. He listened to God's voice. He didn't listen to the voice of temptation. Verse 7. Oh, no, verse 5. David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. So first off, he didn't listen to the voice of temptation. Now's your opportunity. Take it. The essence of temptation is that if I don't grab this now, I'm going to lose it. That is the essence. Think about all those get-rich-quick money schemes or ways that you like, oh, I gotta get this person, or I gotta, the essence of temptation is, if I don't act now, I'll lose it. As opposed to going, God's got me in his hands, I'll seek him. He prioritized God's voice. What's the cue, the clue? David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. So Saul's robe was what? As we discussed with Jonathan giving his robe to David, the robe was a symbol of his leadership. It was a symbol of him as the king, him on the throne of Israel. So David felt like, I just snatched a little bit of what wasn't mine to snatch when it came to leadership. And I feel cut to heart. John chapter 16, Jesus instructs us about how God speaks to our conscience. The Spirit of truth comes. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard from God the Father, from God the Son. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. But a little before that, it says, when he comes, he will what? He will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. Part of having God's Spirit in our lives is listening to the Holy Spirit. This is part of the good news we receive, is that God guides us when we've stepped out of line. It's the Spirit prompting us. So David listened to God's voice there. He didn't prioritize the voice of temptation. Interestingly enough, coming from the people of God. So he respected God by respecting his God-given leader. He listened to God's voice, not to temptation's voice. Thirdly, he led with faith. He led with faith. Verse 7. David restrained his men and did not let them kill God. So David not only had to not do the wrong thing himself, he had to restrain his aggressive warriors who had been chased all over Israel by this guy, King Saul. He had to lead. He had to lead. Thank you to each of you who are stepping up and leading. Thank you to each of you who are not only stepping up and leading, but leading with your faith. David leads with faith. How can we tell? Well, if there's nothing in this engagement that's about cowardliness. And you see in the revealing of his heart, especially verses 12 to 16, he's saying, God's got this. God's got this. So when it comes to leading with your faith in this church, stand your ground. Restrain any voices who are looking to dissent. Stand your ground. When it comes to leading with faith in your family, stand your ground. When it comes to leading with faith in your workplace, stand your ground. Others may say, you're out to lunch. Others may say, God's not in this. You got to take charge. Stand your ground of faith. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Immovable. Stand your ground. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. Do you have a great attitude in the ministry and you serve? Do you have a great attitude as you're coming here Sunday morning? Do you have a great attitude as you're leading in your workplace, in your place of ministry, in your third space? Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. It's never in vain. The way that you are standing your ground and leading by faith is seen by heaven. Stand your ground. So, fourthly, David testified that God was in control. In stressful situations, he respected God's God-given leader, he listened to God's voice, he led with faith, and he testified that God was in control. Verse 10, this very day you can see with your own eyes, it isn't true. For the Lord placed you, so it isn't true that I'm trying to harm you, the Lord placed you at my mercy back there in the cave. Some of my men told me to kill you, but I spared you, for I said, I will never harm the king. He is the Lord's anointed. He gave glory to God. He pointed to Christ. He pointed to God in this situation that he was in. He testified that God is in control, and he was a model of faith. Fifthly, he let God settle the score. He let God settle the score. Verse 12, may the Lord judge between us. Perhaps the Lord will punish you for what you're trying to do to me, but I'll never harm you. As that old proverb says, from evil people come evil deeds. So you can be sure I will never harm you. Who is the king of Israel trying to catch anyway? Should he spend his time chasing one who is as worthless as a dead dog or a single flea? It's another lesson in there about humility. says, "May the Lord therefore judge which of us is right and punish the guilty one. He is my advocate, and he will rescue me from your power." He let God ultimately settle the score. He didn't settle the score. How tempting is it to settle the score with that person who hurt you? How tempting is it to just stick it to that person who keeps walking over you, ignoring you, getting in your face, dismissing you? He let David models for us confidence in God in stressful situations. And that's at the heart of this. If there's something to really grab onto altogether, it's the people of faith are to live with confidence in God in stressful situations. We are to say, "My confidence is in you, God," when it comes to each stress, whether it's financial, relational, life-threatening, my confidence is in God. But as we look at the scriptures, as we look at our lives, there's a sad commentary in many ways that in our fallen condition, we don't respect God's God-appointed leaders. We badmouth them. We gossip about them. We judge them. We say, "I could do it better." We make their life tougher. We spread what we heard in community about them. When it comes to listening to God's voice, we prioritize other voices. We prioritize our own anxiety over God's voice, our fears. We give in to temptation. Instead of leading where there's a God-given space, we don't step up. We don't restrain others. Or maybe we did step up and we don't lead with faith. In our fallen condition, we don't testify that God's in control. We say that you really got to look out for the King Saul in your life. My financial situation is in control. My boss at work is in control. In our fallen condition, we don't let God settle the score. We get even. Or even if we don't in real life, we get even in our hearts. And ultimately, we reject God's appointed leader, Christ himself. We reject that God is on the throne. We reject that God's in the control of my life. I'm on the throne. I got to take care of this. Jesus isn't in control. But when we're honest with ourselves, it allows us to just look at ways that we fall short. We don't have to cover up like a bad comb over. You know it's there. You just got to let it be seen. It was so freeing just to shave it off. The enemy was advancing in the front. The enemy was winning from the back. The troops were thinning out in the middle. God, it was freeing to just let go and to embrace reality and embrace truth. That's the good news of the gospel, is that we do fall short. Not only in some of us in our hair, but really in our hearts. Jeremiah, 17:9 says, the heart, the human heart is deceitful above all things. How quick we are to deceive ourselves about our own sin, but how sure we are of other people's sin. How quick we are to judge. How quick we are to hold a grudge. How quick we are to jump on a leader rather than defend them. To be passive and let somebody else do what they shouldn't do. It's actually freeing. It's part of the good news that the Spirit convicts us of what's not right. And the true good news is that even though we fall short, the King of Kings, the Lord Himself, so values you, that He would give his life as a ransom. He would ransom himself, the God of eternity, for you. And when you embrace him, when you accept that the Son of God came and he died in your place, he conquered yours, he took your sin and he conquered it, and he rose from the dead. And then, not only that, he sent you a power you never had in your life, make you a whole new person, a new creation, giving you God's Spirit, a whole new resource for prayer, for love, for peace, for joy, for loving kindness, for confidence in each stressful situation that we face in everyday life. This is the good news. He's overcome. So in your running, we're here as the people of God. We're here if you believe in Jesus. If you've not, or if you're not operating as if he doesn't exist, as if he's not Lord, if you are operating that he is the King of Kings and he's Lord and he's on the throne of your life, then he calls you his kids. And just like the best dad ever, he gives you everything that you need for life. He doesn't shelter you from all the stress. In fact, that's part of how you grow. But he gives you everything you need. So when you're running, some of us need to do a little bit less running. We're running for the wrong reasons. We're running because we're freaked out, because we're acting as if God's not in control, and we're not living with confidence in God. Others of us, we've got physiological things at work in our bodies that it's not just a matter of faith. We need extra support, medication. We need to work on our thinking like we talked about, and this is part of God transforming our mind, not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind through God speaking through his word, through his spirit. Some of us, we got to keep running. That's part of the life and blessing and gifting, is that he's given you so many good things that you got an active life right now. But the thing is, he's also equipped you to handle it. God doesn't give you what he won't equip you for. Sometimes there's a huge stretch beyond our comfort zone, and he'll be equipping you day by day, week by week. Maybe you don't have what it takes to do that thing in a week, but he'll equip you for what you need in the oncoming week. That's my experience. Church, may you hear, if you come here for the first time, you've been here for who knows how long, may you know that we can have confidence with God in each and every situation, in stressful situations. And that just as David got it, he got it, that God was his advocate and that God will rescue us from any situation. He ultimately, as king on the throne of Israel, points to his descendant, Jesus, who is the ultimate deliverer, our ultimate advocate before the throne in eternity, before God the Father. He is praying for you. And he will rescue you. So what I want to do to close here is leave a minute of silence to pray and reflect, to absorb and talk to God about what we've heard. And then I want to invite us to stand and pray a prayer written in the scriptures, a prayer written by David. And what we see in the subscription is just that it's pertaining to this very situation, Psalm 57. So I'll let you know when the minute's up, but let's just take a minute of silence to respond back and listen to God. Let's pray. We're going to put Psalm 57 on the PowerPoint here. I'm going to invite you to stand. And if you want to join in with David's voice, I invite you to pray with me. Let me read the subscription. For the choir director, a psalm of David regarding the time he fled from Saul and went into the cave, to be sung to the tune, Do Not Destroy. I invite you to pray with me. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy. I look to you for protection. I will hide beneath the shadow of your wings until the danger passes by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill his purpose for me. He will send help from heaven to rescue me, gracing those who hound me. My God will send forth his unfailing love and faithfulness. I am surrounded by fierce lions who greedily devour human prey, whose teeth pierce like spears and arrows, and whose tongues cut like swords. Be exalted, O God, above the highest heavens. May your glory shine over all the earth. My enemies have set a trap for me. I am weary from distress. They have dug a deep pit in my path, but they themselves have fallen into it. My heart is confident in you, O God. My heart is confident. No wonder I can sing your praises. Wake up, my heart. Wake up, O lyre and harp. I will wake the dawn with my song. I will thank you, Lord, among all the people. I will sing your praises among the nations. For your unfailing love is as high as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the highest heavens. May your glory shine over all the earth. I want to invite you to continue to stand, and want to invite our harpists and our lyrists to, to come lead us into song. I just hope you get a sense of the confidence that you can have going forward, that God's got this. And the stresses you're dealing with, God's got it. He's dealt with it by sending his son. You're in his arms. You're under the shadow of his wing.